First came to mind, and we just have a few moments left, so let's turn right to it. That's Luke chapter 22. Praise God. The Last Supper. We recently celebrated the Lord's Supper. We held communion in our church. And I often say that whenever we have communion, I like to think of it as though I'm standing right there at the foot of the cross. These emblems make this somewhat tangible to us, as it were. And what would be my attitude if I was standing at the foot of the cross beholding Jesus? If I had any sin in my life, would I be able to hold on to it? Or would I leave it there at the foot of the cross? You know, the Bible tells us that when we take communion, we should examine our hearts. And if we find that there's anything in us that doesn't honor God, there's some sinful way in us, we ought to bring that under the blood right then and there. And then partake of communion. And as we partake in faith of these emblems that speak of his death, we're strengthened. He comes to us. We're brought into fellowship with what Christ has accomplished for us on Calvary. Often throughout the years, I have seen people let the communion plate pass them by. Maybe you're one of those people. Oh, I failed the Lord today. I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough. I don't have this victory in my life. And so now I can't partake tonight. I had an argument with my wife on the way to church. I was right, but either way, I was wrong. People let the plate pass them by. They don't partake of the emblem of his blood. They don't partake of the emblem of his body. And they go home not having received the benefit of Christ's atonement. Brother Edwin used to emphasize, and I could let Peter imitate him for me, but he would say, the Bible says, let him examine himself and then let him eat. We examine ourselves and then we do not eat. That's not what the Bible says. I think that the Lord sometimes calls a church to gather around the Lord's table when God sees that we're not taking care of business the way we should. Oh, I'm going to get around to getting the victory over that somewhere along the way, or I'm going to straighten out that relationship. I know it's not right, and I'm sure the Lord is grieved that we're not getting along, but I'll work that out somewhere. I'll get around to it. I'll get around to it. And you know, we never get around to it. And days turn into weeks, and weeks turn into months, and sometimes it turns into years. And we don't get around to dealing with these things as we should in our lives. And so God calls us to come to the communion table and says, now it's time. Don't leave this place tonight without bringing everything under the blood. And if there's a relationship that needs to be straightened out, go to that brother. Go to that sister. Sometimes people have done that right in the service. And they've gone and they've embraced and apologized, humbled themselves, and made that thing right. We were taught sometimes, well now, we resolve that after the meeting tonight, you're going to promise the Lord that you're going to make that thing right and then follow through. Make that phone call, visit that person, write that letter, whatever you have to do. But the idea is God wants you to partake. He's not wanting to keep you away from the blessing of Calvary. He wants you to enter in. Oh, how he wants us to enter in. And so, when we gather around the Lord's table, we bring everything up to date, everything under the blood, every relationship made right, and then we partake of the emblems of his body and blood, and by faith we receive strength, inner strength, to continue to do that which is pleasing to him, and enjoy the outpouring of his blessing upon our life. Well, as we get past the communion service here, we find something very interesting that Jesus said to Peter in the 31st verse. The Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Luke 22:31. Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, that thy faith fail not. And when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. Jesus knew what Peter was in for. And he knew that the devil wanted to destroy that faith in Peter. And so Jesus assured Peter, Peter, I'm praying for you. Satan desires to have you that he might destroy your faith, sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you. Don't worry, Peter. And when you're converted, when you get through that, then strengthen your brethren, because they also will be tested in life. And by your getting through your tests and getting hold of the grace of God, God will enable you to be a blessing to others in turn. Now, Jesus knew ahead of time that Peter was going to deny him. He knew ahead of time that Peter was going to fall flat on his face and fail miserably. But instead of casting him aside and saying, you know, I can't put any confidence in Peter, I can't use someone like that, Jesus said, I have prayed for you. In the Gospel of John, it tells us that we have not chosen him, but he has chosen us. And he has ordained that we bring forth fruit. And the wonderful thing about it is God knew exactly what he was getting when he chose us, and he chose us anyway. I've told the Lord that when I failed him, or when I just couldn't measure up, and I've often said to the Lord, Lord, you knew exactly what you were getting when you chose me. You knew that I had nothing to offer you. You knew things about my life that I hadn't even yet discovered. And you still chose me anyway. When I was living in Fredericksburg, Virginia, we had a minister come to speak in our church. He was a friend of Brother Bowie, who had taught in Bible school. His name was Brother Blomberg. And he preached on John, that passage in John. And he said, you know, when I go shopping with my wife, she drives me crazy. And he said, especially when we go food shopping. We go into the produce department, and we got to get some bananas or get some apples. And so she goes over to the apples, and I'll grab a few because I want to get out of there as soon as possible. And she'll say, no, honey, those are good apples, but I'm making apple pie, and that's not the right apple for apple pie. Brother Gus knows all about this. And, you know, I need something more sour. Those are good for eating. This is good for baking. Well, who knew? Okay. And then she goes over to the bananas, you know, and I'll grab a bunch of bananas, and they're kind of green, and no, honey, those no good. I told the lady in the produce department at BJ's, I said, if anyone complains about the bananas being green, just tell them, don't worry, the lines are going to be so long at the register, they're going to be yellow by the time you leave. And that's usually the case. I need bananas, but those are all bruised. They look overripe. Yes, I'm making banana bread, and that's exactly what I need. Oh, you know, the wife had something in mind that she wanted to make, and she knew exactly the right thing to choose in order to bring about the best result. And you know, when God chose you, he knew what he could do with you. He had something in mind. And it didn't depend upon you, it depended upon him. And so he took you, broken as you were. He knew all the failures that were yet to come, the disappointments. He knew your struggles, and he chose you anyway. And he chose you and ordained that you be fruitful for his kingdom. And so just the fact that he chose me assures me that he has every intention of perfecting that which concerns me. He has every intention of seeing me through to the end. And that's been such an encouragement to me, especially in my times when I failed. Then I think, but Lord, you chose me, and you knew that I was going to fail like this. And yet that didn't stop you from choosing me. That didn't stop you from saving me and touching my life and calling me. And if that's the case, then I'm going to trust that you are able to do something with my life that will bring you honor and glory. And so I give myself to you afresh and anew. And when we fall, we give ourselves to him afresh and anew. That's the secret. It's just giving yourself to Jesus always and becoming more and more disappointed in yourself and more confident in what he can do. And Peter found that out. They tell us that Peter's failure was probably the best thing that ever happened to Peter. God needed to let some air out of his tire. He was so inflated with self and so confident, and though all forsake you, I never will. And felt a cut above some of the others. And God had to get that out of him if he was going to use him. That was only going to get in the way. When we depend upon ourselves, we're not depending upon God. And it's only as we, in our weakness, cast ourselves upon him that we're candidates to experience his mighty power and strength flowing in us and flowing through us. If God be for us, the Bible says, who can prevail against us? God is on our side. Young people need to realize that. God is for you. You know, we hear so much about cleansing our lives and sin and all these things, that sometimes we think that God is, he's not for me. He's always correcting me, always chastising me, always, you know, making life miserable for me. But the Bible makes it clear that God is for us. Peter, you're going to fail miserably, but I prayed for you. You're going to get through that. And when you get through, and tell others what God has done for you and encourage them when they fall, that there's a Savior who never leaves us and never forsakes us. In Romans it says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? He that spared not his own son. The God who did not hold the best that he had in order to bring redemption to us, his own son, he didn't spare him, but he sent him into the world. And Jesus was willing to come and to offer himself on our behalf. But there's another way of looking at that too. God did not spare him any of his wrath when he sent his son to die for our sins. You know, when Jesus hung there on the cross, he was bearing the sin of the world. And God didn't hold back his punishment because that was his son. You know, we would have a tendency to do that, right? That's my son. I hold back a little bit. But here it says he spared not his own son. He poured out upon him the full extent of his wrath against sin and against the sinner, even though it was his own son dying there on the cross. And if God was willing to do that because he wanted us to come to know him and be his and serve him, don't you think that with Christ he's going to give us everything that we need? You know, when we understand that God is for us, we can handle a lot more than we realize. We can deal with the conviction when God shows us something wrong, because we know he's not trying to condemn us, he's for us. And the reason he's showing us these things is because he has cleansing for us. He has freedom for us, deliverance, as we've heard tonight. When God puts his finger on things in your life, don't think he's against you. Don't think he's mad at you, but he's for you. And he's wanting to cleanse your life and purify your heart so that you can come closer to him. As I said before, every admonition you read in the Bible to come closer to Jesus also calls for us to purify our hearts and calls for a deeper cleansing, that we might come into a more intimate relationship with a holy God. And so, no matter how you feel about it, God's word says that he's on our side. I'm sure Jesus is praying for you. He ever lives to make intercession for us. He's doing everything. He shows his wounded hands and claims us as his own. He stands before the Father and says, Father, I know that he has failed, but he's mine. I've paid the price. He shows the evidence of that. And the Father, who cannot refuse his Son, forgives and sends help from the sanctuary to pick us up and move us forward. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Somebody, I was reading a devotional and said, you know, that's a verse that you can read frontwards and backwards. I will never leave thee. Thee leave will I never. Well, that sounds kind of weird, because there's a lot of verses like that. Jesus wept. Wept Jesus, right? But the idea was, here's a verse that you can say frontwards and forwards, and it means the same thing. And God wants to get that into you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. He meant it, and he wants us to believe it. And so let's believe what God says. And if we really believe that God is on our side, and God is for us, and God chose us, and he knew what he was getting, but he chose us anyway, because he knew what he could do with us, then we ought not to be afraid to pray, search me, O God. And know my thoughts, try me, and know my heart, know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You know, but that frees you, that understanding frees you to just open your soul to God and lay aside all the pretense. You don't have to cover anything. Nothing's going to change God's love for you. And if God is for me, then God, I invite you to come and search me out. Search me with candles and bring to light those things that grieve you, that I might bring them to the cross and find cleansing and forgiveness and deliverance in Jesus' name. Praise God. I hope that encourages somebody here tonight. I don't know. If you're still awake, I hope that you're being encouraged that God is on your side. Maybe you've wondered about that, but he's there for you. I knew someone who was about to go through a great trial, and they didn't know it. And they went to one of our fellowship churches, and the minister came down from the platform and laid his hands on them and said, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, that your faith does not fail. And then it wasn't long after that something happened in their life that was devastating to them and made them question, God, why did you allow this to happen of all things? But then they remember that word, I have prayed for you, that your faith does not fail. And they clave to that word, God, you said you have prayed for me. And that's the only thing that's going to get me through this. And they cast themselves upon the Lord and kept their hearts open to him. And God brought them through and did something very precious in their life as a result. And so that's all I have to say tonight. Time's up. Praise God. But I think it's a good thought for us to take into our hearts and something to pray about. And say, Lord, forgive me for that, any attitude that God is not on my side. Jesus, you gave your own life for me. You chose me. How could I think otherwise? And now you're praying for me. And so, Lord, I choose to believe in the love of God. I choose to trust in your love. No matter what things look like, no matter what people say, no matter how I feel, I'm going to believe in your love. And you who have begun a good work in me will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And so I give myself to you afresh and anew. And I say, search me, God. Have your way in my life. If there's anything in me that shouldn't be there, show me, Lord. I don't want that, but I want to bring it to Calvary. You paid the price in full so that I can be all that you want me to be. Amen. Praise God. There's a beautiful song in here about arise, my soul, arise. Shake off your guilty fears because the bleeding sacrifice in your behalf appears. It's in the white book, Steve? Number 46 in the white. I know it's in both of our books, but this is a good one. Let's stand as we sing. Arise. Shake off your guilty fears. Amen. Praise God. Brother Peter Schaefer, you're there? I think so, yeah. Would you pray with us, please?
Lord, tonight we cry, Abba, Father. Lord, we just call out to you tonight, and we thank you for what you've accomplished on Calvary, Lord. What you've accomplished through the resurrection, O God. And Lord, we can't do these things on our own, Father. We recognize those things. Lord, we also recognize that we make mistakes and we fall, O God. And Lord, you are here, though, to pick us up, O God, to strengthen us, O God. You use these things that, these imperfections in our lives, as you polish them and clean them and reshape us, O God. You use them to glorify yourself as we encourage others, Lord, just as you told Simon Peter, O God. And Lord, today we just we come to you again, and whether we go to our bunks or go to our cabins or whether we stay here, Heavenly Father, I just pray that you would work in us, that we would seek you, that we would be the blessing that you've called us to be, O God. Change us, continue to work in us, and we ask this in your name.
Amen. Thank you. God bless you all. Let's continue to seek his face and enter into all that he has for us. Thank you.